Hello and welcome to another episode of Big Sad Fun, a sports podcast where we talk about what's big, sad, and fun in the week of sports. My name is James, and
you've
I'm here with
Edward Dickey.
Edward Dickey. I do have that down, man. I'm working on that.
You got our intro.
I need to get my radio voice down. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Big Sad Fun. I'm not quite there.
Golly gee, folks.
So
Sunday.
Let's jump right into the big.
Yeah. How you been?
Well, I've been fine. But good. But I was doing a lot better after I watched that double play to end the game for the Braves.
That was awesome.
And save your season, I guess. Let's talk about some Atlanta Braves playoffs.
Yeah, man. You know, I mean, and I think we've seen it with all the other teams who also had that week bye.
Yeah.
It's tough to get out of rhythm.
All the 100-game winners lost.
Yeah.
Some of them are no longer in the playoffs. Thank you, Baltimore.
But, you know, it's baseball players are such creatures of habit.
Yeah.
That, like, and while it's good to get guys healthy,
yeah,
that much of a break from their routine is tough.
It just feels weird to me that would be the case. I mean, it feels like you've been playing baseball your entire life.
It shouldn't be, but
you take a week off and all of a sudden you forget how to play.
Forget how to hit, apparently.
Yeah,
I mean,
what is going on?
And, you know, that first game when we go 0-for, and then it looks like we're going to go 0-for again.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, this sucks.
Yes.
I hate this. We've gone 15 innings.
This
hadn't happened all season.
Yeah, right.
And then all of a sudden, and I don't necessarily think it's that we remembered how to hit. I think it's more Zach Wheeler got out of the game.
Yeah, I think that helped.
I think we kind of started touching him. And then he goes out and, like, we started hitting their bullpen well.
And that's the thing, man. Like, in the old days of baseball, Wheeler would have stayed in the game. And who knows what would have happened at that point. I mean, he had 10 strikeouts at that point,
jeez.
I think, something like that.
Well, we're starting to touch him.
You are a huge Braves fan.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, like, you're down a game already. You know, you're getting late into the second game. You're playing against the Phillies, who you hate.
Yeah, God, they're terrible.
And plus, Bryce Harper's on that team.
What's
going through your feelings right there? I mean, what's going through your head? What's moving in your heart?
I'll tell you exactly. I was instantly taken back to the early 2000s.
Okay.
When we would do that, we would win 100 games every year.
Yeah.
And then we'd lose the first round.
Right.
And I was 8 years old again, listening to the game on my radio.
And you were crying.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But, you know, because I wasn't allowed to watch it because it was too late. So I snuck a radio in and would watch it on my radio.
That's awesome.
And it was instantly, and I was texting William Newkirk, our friend.
Yeah.
And I was like, I mean, this is what happens every year where, you know, I mean, we get so excited about the regular season and then we're going
to
fall apart.
It's hilarious.
Just then we started hitting.
It's hilarious to me because this is like how every Atlanta fan feels about almost all of your sports here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Hawks are so middling that you don't really ever have, but there are moments you have like a little glimpse of like, oh,
yeah,
we could be really good.
And then it falls apart.
But here the Braves, I mean, from start to finish have been like the best team in baseball. And now,
but like we've been the best team in baseball before.
Yeah. But,
I realize that
you do have that history.
Yeah. But this is a completely new team. But it's just that level of, like, we've been here before.
You're just used to it, right?
Yeah.
There's a little bit of post-traumatic stress going
on
there.
And, you know, we're ready for that other shoe to drop.
That's right, yeah.
But then, I mean, old Travis d'Arnaud comes...
he had, like, two home runs since July 1st.
Comes marching in like a... Well, and he's now got, like, he's in the top 5 catcher postseason home runs.
Is that right?
Which is awesome.
That is awesome.
I think I read that stat right.
I didn't even know he was on the team, I'll be honest with you.
Well, so Sean Murphy's been struggling.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those where, and Travis is hitting well. So it's like we might lose a little bit defensively.
Yeah.
But we got to ride the hot bat.
So
especially like when our bats all of a sudden went to sleep.
So moving from a negative emotion into a positive emotion in the sense of when you get that double play to walk off the game, if you can walk off a game with a double play.
We did.
Which you did. and it was against Bryce Harper, of all people.
That's what made it so much better.
I was about to say, like, what were your feelings at that
moment?
Oh, my.
It was... guttural sense of happy, like, you know, guttural is usually a word that's connotated negatively.
Yeah, sure.
But it was like that, but happy.
Yeah.
It was just a deep feeling of just everything is right in the world.
Yeah. I mean, it was so
fun. The good
fun.
Guys overcame the douchebag.
His face was amazing.
And have you seen like the field view of that?
Yeah, I think I've seen most of the views.
Like where he's, I mean, he's like deep past second. Yeah.
Well, he thinks he's going to tie the game. Yeah, right? And you can't really blame him. I mean, no, that took a spectacular hit.
Now, in order apparently, to catch, I mean, to get that. Phillies fans are blaming him. Well, and they're all over him.
I think you got to go for the tie there.
Yeah,
you can't be thinking anything else. Like he's got to be thinking.
But
that
I mean, and also
off the wall.
Like, but what are the chances of Albies just barely missing it?
Yeah,
and then Riley being in position, and I think a lot of that goes to Ron Washington.
Yeah,
just being really good at defensive baseball.
Yeah. Do you think he missed the cutoff man, or at least the cutoff man missed it. So I was going to ask you about that because there's a sense in which that could be taken as intentional, like he let it go through, but you think he just missed it? Because if he had gotten it, there wouldn't have been a double play.
I think he was looking because Riley. You can see
Riley's
yelling,
jetting over there,
but Riley's yelling, "Go first, go one, go one, go one." And I think he looks over to check it.
Yeah,
and missed it. So I don't think it was intentional. But I don't know.
It was a great play by Riley in any case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A great play by Mike Harris.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Like that catch was elite.
That was like, I've heard people comparing it to like a Willie Mays situation, you know? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like it's got that kind of shade to it.
And so, I mean, just that. How far he ran for it too.
So awesome. what's your feeling about the Braves now after that? That's the kind of game and play that will spark a team.
So
right?
it's Reignite. Going to. I'm
Moving
hoping
to
that I'm hoping that that's what happens.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm thinking that this is gonna go five.
Yeah.
I think we're gonna split, and then there's gonna be a game five in Atlanta to decide it.
How do you feel about that?
Pretty good.
I'm hearing the Braves are a lock if it goes to five.
I would think so.
I mean,
we've been here before.
Right.
Fulton Evans lets up 10 runs in the first.
Well, I definitely think, I think we watched that here at the church.
I was on my way to go coach a football game.
Yeah.
And I was listening to it.
We were watching it on Wednesday night dinner and they turned it on.
Oh God.
And it was just like, oh my gosh, what is going on?
But I just remember like. Because everyone's like, all right, yeah, we're gonna it was like a game five or a game seven, I can't remember.
Yeah.
But it was like, all right, cool, we're going to win this one. Fulte's been pretty good, and then it was just like, oh, this is still going.
But you're feeling good now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm feeling great.
I feel like if you didn't win that one, it'd be pretty much over.
This season, we would be done.
And, you know, the Dodgers are out now.
No, they're still in.
They're still in?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're about to be out.
They're down 2-0.
Yeah. So.
And they're going to... But it's
Baltimore that's out,
that week off is just tough.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, apparently, man. Who
well,
knew?
Well, and it's like, you know, people always say baseball players are like
children.
No, not children. What's the word looking for?
Monkeys. Baseball players are like.
Oh my God! What is
dreams
the word?
In a meadow?
Stop talking. Super superstitious.
Oh yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah.
But it's not really superstitious. It's more just the routine.
Yeah,
it's they're like the routine is they come in, they have one piece of gum, and then in the second inning they get another
to be
piece.
All excuses for just playing bad.
I don't think that all three teams. I guess so. You know,
maybe they just weren't as good as they thought they were. I don't know. I don't. Maybe they were too cocky. Maybe they didn't care.
I mean, I think that we need to revamp the structure here.
Well, another thing that's going on here in Atlanta is a little bit of a turnaround. We'll say we'll go with the turnaround theme. Braves turning around, and now the Falcons, at least their quarterback turning around, had the best game of his short career so far.
Well, and
how'd you feel about the Falcons?
Well, I mean, I can't believe anybody ever discredited Ritter. I mean, it definitely wasn't me. I definitely wasn't.
So you're all in on Ritter now. One game of 300 yards.
So
do you think
yes and no?
Was the strategy of the game any different that brought Ritter out of some kind of place where he was before? Like, do you see something about the coaching or the strategy of the game that made Ritter shine, or was it just this was a fluke, or was it?
Well, I think it was they just. They kind of let him play a little bit.
They let him cook.
They let him cook.
They let the Riddler cook.
Exactly.
They let the Riddler tell enigmas.
I've got an idea. We'll talk about it off thing. But I think he's... Well, and obviously, what every team's strategy against the Falcons is going to be is let's shut down the run game and let's force Ritter to beat us passing.
Yeah.
But he finally showed that it's like, okay, if you want to give us...
You can throw the ball.
If you want to give us, you know, just man coverage on the side,
yeah,
I can exploit that.
Well, it was a nice day for Kyle Pitts as well, who I assumed had been cut from the team. I had not seen him. And Drake London apparently is back. So that's nice.
And now we picked up a new receiver.
Yeah, you guys are just like, well, let's go all out in the passing game. I hear T.O. might be coming out of retirement to play for you guys.
Did you see that this is neither here nor there, but did you see that they want to put flag football in the Olympics?
I did. I heard that, yeah.
T.O. would play?
I mean, that's the kind of talent you'd get. Well, probably still be fine.
I saw that Tyreek Hill is like, immediately was like, I'm in. I'm getting all the other NFL
and
guys.
Miami's like, no, you're not.
Yeah, but Hill's going to do it. But that should be fun. I can't wait to cover that if that happens here.
Yeah, we'll see.
I think we finally kind of put it all together.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's kind of what the offense was supposed to be.
Yeah. How are you feeling about your defense?
Pretty good.
I mean, the defense has been solid.
We can't spit on the passer.
Well, that's an Atlanta thing, you know.
It's so infuriating.
You know, I don't know if I told you this or not, but I was listening to a sports program here in Atlanta, and they do a thing where they throw back. They're like, let's go back into the vault, and they play a clip from their show 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to it the other day, and they're like, all right, we got a clip here from 10 years ago. Same show. I think it was maybe Chuck and Chernoff. I can't remember. Yeah. They were like, all right, let's go back and listen to this clip from 10 years ago. It's literally 10 years ago to the day. And it starts off with one of them being like, well, the only problem with Atlanta is that they don't have a pass rush. And I was like, yep.
Man, it's...
Some things never change.
It's wild that, like, but the one year we go to the Super Bowl, but, and like, that's why, like, that's I saw telling. We're making a trade, and it's like, oh, sweet, we brought in a pass rusher.
Nope.
And then it's like, no, we got a receiver who I heard of in 2022. But I mean, I think the defense overall is better.
Yeah.
And especially, some NFL player got arrested.
Oh, well, that happens.
But,
breaking news here. NFL player arrested.
Oh, okay. I think when you look at how the Lions have played.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
man.
Like, that
good.
Loss looks a whole lot better now.
Oh, absolutely does. Yeah. They might be the best team. The best two in the NFC anyway.
Oh, in the NFC, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think, like, they have kicked themselves up into the top tier.
Yeah, they have. They're in that upper,
which is odd because I did not see that happening with him.
I know, and I'm kind of proud of him, and I feel for him. So I hope things go well.
Yeah,
Detroit,
Lions.
Man,
Lions
they
still going to
won
Lions,
a playoff though. Game since they beat the Dallas Cowboys in 1991.
And when's the last time the Cowboys won one?
It was, you know, I don't know, playoff games. We won a playoff game last year. We beat Tampa Bay. We took down Tom Brady in his very last NFL football game.
That's true.
Game.
Y'all did.
So, we
have
got
you,
that.
Have you...
we got that.
You been to the NFC Championship?
No, we have not. But at least we didn't lose three quarters of a Super Bowl.
When's the last time y'all were in the NFC Championship?
We went down 28-3 to the Patriots just a couple weeks ago, and we won that game.
Yeah, completely different Patriots team.
In the way that you're supposed to when you go 28-3.
All I'm saying is that they've solved the Tupac murder.
Right. But you're right. I heard that. And I feel like they had
less
time
solved
for a while.
Than it took y'all to get to the NFC Championship.
You know, you're right about that. So 1995 is the last time we made it to the NFC Championship, last time we won a Super Bowl, for that matter. And since then, Tupac has been violently murdered, and his crime has been solved.
Yeah. They got the guy.
Maybe that's what we were waiting for. Although,
you know, maybe.
If we want to pivot to our sad.
Let's pivot.
Yeah.
Like an NBA player, we're pivoting.
Let's pivot and throw the ball into the stands, because we have a Cowboys team. I should say I have a Cowboys team.
They're not my team. Although they claim to be America's team.
Let me just say, from the very beginning, you know this is true. I have said, from the very first time Dak Prescott stepped on the field and threw a preseason pass his rookie season 2016, he's terrible. And he's always been terrible. Now, there are a lot of other problems happening with the Cowboys.
Yeah.
But it starts with him throwing three interceptions against this 49ers team.
And
let me give props to the 49ers, right? Because they are good.
They are not a bad team.
Really good. They are really, really good. But to do what we did out there against that team is disgraceful. And in fact, I turned the game off halfway through the third quarter when we were down 28-10, because there was nothing. There was no heart. There was nothing there.
Yeah, I started watching some on TV.
Yeah, and that's what really gets to me. Watching this team, there's no heart there. Mm-hmm. And Dak is not good. and McCarthy can't coach. I mean, there's nothing there. Even the defense, like the defense that's been kind of the jewel of our season.
I will say though, Shanahan has done that to a lot of defenses.
Yeah, he has. And you know, that's one of the things that I was watching. Pay attention to.
And he knows Dan Quinn's defense.
He does.
Well.
He does. And Dan Quinn has said that Shanahan's offense is the hardest to defend against. Boo-hoo, wah-wah. I don't care.
Have y'all done the Dolphins yet?
No, but we will later in the season.
Because I think that one's pretty tough to defend.
Yeah, we'll see. I really, at this point, have absolutely, watching that game, I have absolutely no hope in this Cowboys team. Now, I think we'll be fine. We'll make the playoffs, but we can't win the playoffs.
I think Mekhi Parsons will take the playoffs.
Mekhi Parsons, yeah. He's passionate. He's good, and our defense will recover.
He's still, like, talking trash on
it. It just doesn't matter,
though. He was
saying,
like, we'll get y'all next, like, next time you'll play,
know.
It's like, buddy,
he's young.
You lost by a lot, man.
Yeah, he's young. He doesn't know.
Yeah, but I like the energy.
I do too.
I would love the energy in Atlanta.
He's like the only player on the team that walked away and said, you know, I still want to keep him. Because, I mean, honestly, it was just garbage. It was garbage from start to finish.
CeeDee Lamb.
For that team. CeeDee Lamb was garbage.
Get rid of him?
Yeah. Well, I mean, might as well. Don't have a quarterback and throw to him, you know?
Smart.
And I know I sound really defeatist here, but the thing is like.
But you're a Cowboys fan. You're supposed to.
I'm a Cowboys fan. When
they win, you're supposed to be convinced that they're going to Super Bowl.
Well, I'm not, though. I never will be. This team will never. If they win every game for the rest of the season, it will not do anything to change my opinion until they beat somebody in the playoffs.
I mean, for the rest of the season, that would include the playoffs.
Well, you know what I mean. Rest of the regular season. So I've given up hope on this team. I'm gonna let it go from my heart.
Now, how many more years?
We're
are
not gonna talk about the Cowboys
how many
again
more years
on this
are on
podcast.
Dax? That's a lie. How many more years are on?
We can let them go after this year.
Dak's deal.
We can let them go after this year. And I think one of the silver linings here is that Dak Prescott is being exposed for what he is. Without Kellen Moore's system, he is garbage. And whatever this Texas Coast nonsense is, it ain't working. It's more like Texas toast because we've been toasted by the Arizona Cardinals and the 49ers.
Pause. How long have you wanted to use that Texas toast line?
I just came up with it.
I love Texas toast.
It's good for French toast.
I'm a big
toast.
Fan. Yeah. Freedom toast.
Freedom toast. That's right. But I just, you know, you can hear it in my voice. I'm done. We're not going to talk about them anymore. We're going to let that go. And
Cowboys move the needle.
When McCarthy gets fired. And Dak gets not re-signed, and we start over with Trey Lance or some other guy that we bring in.
Now,
if we could make a trade for Kirk Cousins right now, I would change my mind. Would change.
That would be perfect.
It would be amazing.
And Kirk needs out
because Kirk is like a B version. He's like the poor man's version of Aaron Rodgers. You know, in the sense that like he's not as good as Aaron, but he's like a junior version. He's what you get when you can't afford it.
And did you watch the quarterback series on Netflix?
I did not, no.
He comes off great, but I love how like they bring up how he like loses in like big games.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I don't know. I think I play all right in those. And like when you look at his numbers, it's like, yeah, he played
always
great.
Again, I don't know if you know this. I think we've said this here before, but he's the only quarterback in NFL history to ever take his team to the playoffs with a bottom three defense.
Yeah.
And you have to be really good to do that. And he's got his flaws too, whatever. But I know he can throw the ball, and I know he knows what a route is. And when he throws the ball, I know it's going to be to the receiver. You know, things happen, bad stuff happens, but Dak is consistently terrible, and I'm just done. And okay. I hope the rest of America is listening in the sense that, like, I am sick of this guy being praised by people. And I know there's some people out there who can see it for what it is, but I've watched every snap of this guy's career, every single one of them, and I can tell
you. We've all been forced to.
There have been four good ones.
Yeah.
You know? So, anyway.
Now, are you ready for this pivot?
Read that for a while, but yeah, let's pivot.
So it seemed as if you would like them to be in the market for quarterback.
Yes.
And there was a quarterback in the Red River rivalry who could be, you know, Quinn Ewers.
So
what would you think about him in Cowboys colors?
Yeah, let's go. You know, the idea of starting over with a rookie quarterback is painful to me. But
it's what you're going to have to do.
But it's what we're going to have to do.
And
I don't know where we'll be in the draft because we're going to make the playoffs, you know, or we're going to be in the 15th pick, something like that. I mean, we're not going to be able to get a quarterback that we need, that we want. So I don't know. You know, it's a dark times in Dallas. And the future does not look bright.
So I don't think you understand how pivoting works.
I know. Okay. Anyway, yes. So let's pivot to the fun. There was something fun that happened this weekend.
Yeah, the Red River Rivalry.
This is the only minor league football game that I pay attention to all year long, other than the national championship.
I think you might have a squad in Oklahoma that you might want to watch a little bit.
Yeah, that turns out there might be a little bit better than I remember.
You said
they got beat 49-0 in this game last year.
Yeah, that happened.
I don't know if you remember that.
That happened. So there was a level of
Oklahoma football being just done.
You said earlier before when we watched the highlights that you've been to the Cotton Bowl before.
I've been there. Yeah, I've been to.
What did you go see at the Cotton Bowl?
I went to the state fair. It's the state fair.
Yeah, the state fair was going there, on during this game.
Yeah, yeah. I was there around that time that weekend, but I didn't go to the game.
Gotcha.
But it's like, cool. Yeah, it's like a cool old school stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I always like just those random stadiums like that. And I love, and I know college coaches don't like it because of recruiting, but I love neutral site games like that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, how neutral is it? You know, the sense that it is in Texas, but it is about halfway between both schools. So there's a level at which Dallas is not part of Texas anyway, which is why I can hate Texas and still be a Dallas Cowboy fan. But there's the fair is great. Obviously, we need to find a fair around here and go. I'm sure there is
one. The Georgia State Fair is my thing.
Does that happen?
It happens every year. It might have already happened.
Oh, did we miss it? We missed the fair. I need a turkey leg. Man, I need some funnel cake.
One day I'll tell you the story about my dad attempting to sue the random Baptist church because they're I can't remember what pie it was, but it was so good that he had like three of them and he couldn't drive home.
That's awesome.
I'm a big fan of fairs, but this game was awesome.
Yeah, it was a great game. And honestly, I didn't go into it with much like hope.
Because Texas has looked good.
They beat Alabama. They look really good.
They beat Alabama at home.
And they look like they were going to be in the conversation. And they still might be with the national championship.
I think anybody with only one loss is still in the conversation.
I don't remember how the Big 12 championship works or even if we have one anymore because of all the realignment and stuff that's happened.
It's so confusing.
But I think we might have to play this team again. I feel like
I don't pretend to know
I don't remember either. But
the big whatever now.
I will say Oklahoma is a lot better than they were last year.
That little power running back y'all got is nice.
Yeah, he's good. That quarterback's not bad either.
I mean that throw he made, the last throw, with the pocket collapsing.
Just kind of squirts it out there.
Yeah. Because it's like, oh, he's sacked. No, there's a ball out. Oh, my God, he's open.
Eyes down the field in that situation.
And I mean, because the pocket is clearly collapsing on him.
Yeah, it's all over. I thought it was over.
And I don't know what year he is, but that throw alone, I don't know much about the guy.
Yeah.
But that throw alone makes me think, all right, let's put this guy in the NFL.
You know, our head coach, Venerables, was there back when we were good with Stoops.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, he was our defensive coordinator back then. And he did the transfer portal. He played the game. He played old Dion's game. And he turned over a lot of the
– Which, and
you
it's
know,
it's
over
sad,
half the roster
kind of what you
had
have
never
to
been
do
in
now.
This game before. So, yeah.
It hurts high school recruiting. Now, but, I mean, the transfer portal, because you can find a good team, put together a pretty good team through it.
You can.
But, I mean, I think it was an awesome game.
It was great. It was a lot of fun to watch. I thought the weekend was going to be great.
The Pat McAfee did a broadcast of it.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about that. I didn't watch that part.
So, he interviewed, what's the, not Tom Cruise, but the young guy from Top Gun.
I don't know his name.
Handsome young fellow.
Yeah.
They were interviewing him and
man, what is his name?
I don't know if Pat realized that he wasn't talking to the character. Like at one point he asked him how he got his call name. And it's like, Pat, what are you doing? But they all were wearing
his name,
the
Rooster. Rooster in the
I can't
he
remember.
Was Goose's son, right, in the movie?
Yeah, I think
so. Right, yeah.
It's been a while since I've seen that. But McConaughey was on there.
Yeah, I love McConaughey.
Basically all the celebrities kept like Trey Young was out there because he's an Oklahoma boy like yourself.
For the most part, yeah, he is. And for the most part, I'm a big fan of McConaughey, except for this Texas infatuation that he has, you know.
My favorite is the video of him.
Longhorns, that's real football.
But there's a video of him being the like guest coach at a basketball game. And you see him like actually walking around like thinking like he's really trying to come up with a play to like how we're gonna score more points. And it's like it's because he's just playing the role of
right.
And in his mind that's what he thinks that a coach needs to be doing. But yeah, no, it was a great game.
Great atmosphere, great game.
And the one thing that pro football will literally never be able to touch on college is the atmospheres.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a truth to that.
I mean, you know, maybe Lambeau, maybe Seattle.
Yeah.
But like, that's like, I mean, the place was going crazy.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get that. You're not going to get the camera shaking from you're the crowd noise.
You know, and they keep wanting to move that game to like to
Jerry World,
Or
that
would
be terrible.
But I think
it's got to stay. Like it's got to stay nitty gritty.
You're right there at the Cotton Bowl. I think that's where it belongs. It was a good win. I'm happy for Oklahoma. Now this is obviously the kind of world in which Oklahoma now goes and loses to Iowa State or Kansas
but,
State.
But you know, I mean, maybe they rattle off a couple. Maybe we get them in the playoffs.
And maybe, then they lose to Georgia.
Maybe we have that game.
Let's talk about Georgia for just a second.
Things similar to the Falcons.
Baker Mayfield should have beat Georgia, by the way, back in the day. That was one of the best football games I've ever seen.
That was a great football game. But I was like, why the hell are we talking about?
But in any case.
Yeah, things finally clicked for Georgia,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so Georgia finally looks like Georgia.
Yeah.
And everything came together.
Now, I think Kentucky repeatedly shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, that's
which I think is a big thing there. But
that's what you do under big lights, though, in a big game.
Well, and you know, Georgia finally gets a night game, and
there you go.
You give that crowd all day to drink. They're gonna have a good time. but I think hopefully this is now we go.
Yeah,
and not now we fall back to almost losing to Auburn.
Right.
But I liked what I saw.
Yeah. They look good. They look sharp.
Yeah.
Solid. I think clearly the number one team in the nation.
Yes. That week, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, over the course of the season, other teams have looked good. So it's college football is so up in the air right now. It's awesome.
We're halfway through. You know, we're starting to get into that.
Yeah, but there's like eight teams that still have a shot.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of it.
I also saw Deion's back on the winning ways, back in the winning track.
Oh yeah, they beat Arizona State.
Beat Arizona State, so that's good. I'm glad to see they didn't give up and quit. Peace out for the season.
It was like a 1-5 Arizona State team too.
Yeah.
Well, like, and you know, you have Shador pointing to his watch. After, it's like, buddy, they're 1-5, man.
Hey, that's the one thing is they're consistent. They can bring that attitude no matter who they're playing.
I saw a clip from some reality show Deion Sanders had at one point, where he went into Shador's room when Shador's in high school, and he was like, he got a note from a couple of Shador's teachers, and that he was kind of acting up in class, but at one point, one teacher says that he farts in class. He's like, you farting in class, man? Like, you trying to be the class clown farting? <It's> like, what?
Shador might be a good move for the old Falcons next year if the whole Riddler experiment doesn't work out.
I heard this on the draft, and it's a very great statement of glimpses of greatness will get a coach fired.
Oh, wow.
You know, like if you just because you see something and you stick with a guy.
Yeah.
And that will get you fired. So hopefully it's not what we're doing with.
No, you got a whole nother. You got I don't know how many games are left. That's basically the entire season's left.
Yeah.
So you'll know who he is by the end of the season.
Hopefully.
So you'll have a good idea about that. And we'll know who Dak is and probably still resign him to a $50 million a year contract.
Mm-hmm. Because everything is as it should
be. Yes, it is. All right, and let me just shout one last thing. Neither here nor there, but maybe a little bit of a sad as we close up today. Hockey season started this week, and Atlanta doesn't have a hockey team.
Well, we might be getting one soon.
We might be getting one soon. So things are looking up here in Atlanta.
Yeah, I think the team that was the Flames might be coming back. Okay. That's what I heard today.
Oh yeah.
So
okay.
Might have some good.
I also heard that Trey Young was practicing in the offseason, so that's good for the Hawks.
We looked good in our preseason game.
This is that month of the year, man. That all four sports are moving around. And,
oh yeah,
it's great.
This is what you have to do with the summer for.
And I'll give you a little preview for next week. We will be doing a show next week. Next week is our 2-year anniversary.
Mm.
We've been doing the show for 2 years.
We're going to do something funky.
Let's do something funky.
Let's get real funky.
All right. Thanks, guys, for listening.
Thank you.
Edward, peace out.
See ya.